Good morning, good evening, and good day, everybody. My name is Björn Darko. Today, I'm talking in a new episode of SEO Presso podcast to Kristen Bauer. Kristen is president and founder of Conifer, an SEO consulting agency from Oregon, the USA. And she was previously director of SEO at Zillow, the most visited real estate website in the United States. She also was director SEO for RKG, which has been acquired by Merkle. And she also served as a marketing manager for Amazon, where she was responsible for implementing an SEO strategy for all AWS instances. And today we're talking about real estate and prop tech SEO. Hi, Kristen. Great to have you on the show.
Hi, Björn. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you that you agreed to join this podcast. I mean, I'm super early into my prop tech and real estate career. That's how we met, and I'm super, you know, amazed by the experience that you bring to the table. And I think from what I've seen so far, that real estate SEO, it's enterprise, it's large, it's huge, and so getting into some of the details would be amazing to talk about today.
Yes, agreed. Well, you're already making an impact with your prop tech experience and our work together. So it's been great to work with you and be introduced. Real estate SEO is definitely a whole separate challenge for SEO. There are some learnings, I think, from marketplace SEO in general, but adding in that localization component makes real estate its own unique set of SEO challenges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are diving into it. But my first question is, because, you know, you have been working for large enterprise companies, as I said, like Zillow and also big real estate platforms. And they also own big real estate platform like Trulia, for example. You also have been working for Amazon, where you were responsible for AWS. You have established SEO strategy for all AWS products. And today you're also advising big companies such as ours. And so my first question is, you know, working for such big companies, it's not for every SEO, right? So you have to have a specific personality, and also your experience and character needs to be very, very special. From your experience, what made you successful at those companies, and what if there's anybody listening to this, what do they need to think about before they apply for a job at such big companies?
That is a really important consideration if you are an SEO professional and you're thinking of running an enterprise SEO program in-house. From my experience, there are a few things that I think will help someone be more successful in a role like SEO director at Zillow or at any other big enterprise company. Obviously, you need to have the experience from the technical standpoint, from the content standpoint. You need to have confidence in your experience and be able to effectively communicate to stakeholders. And that's something that I think served me really well in a couple of my roles where I was able to effectively communicate out to stakeholders and upwards to executives, also to my team and department as well. And so I think having that, those benchmarks for communication and make sure that you are effectively communicating the high priorities, medium, low priorities, your roadmap, what's going well, what's not going well. I found that executives like to know about what's not going well sooner than later and what you're doing about it. And so that's something that we were very transparent about with my team and my communication and my roles in terms of making sure you're driving your initiatives forward across the companies and different product teams and organizations and being that effective sounding board for the company when it comes to SEO and that champion for SEO when it around the company. And that's something where I think executives and enterprise SEO professionals will really excel if they become that champion for SEO internally. And so it really does take a different skill set beyond just knowing SEO, beyond being that technician who can dive into crawl reports and site audit reports and identify those really important technical issues, but also have that confidence and presence and organization and communication skills. So the technical skills, but also those soft skills are really important to excel in those roles.
Yeah, you address a lot of very important things. I mean, you know, today SEOs in such big companies, especially on that, you know, level of being a director or VP or whatever, right? They need to be a bit more like a politician, right? As you said, like communication is key. And, you know, we as SEOs, for example, we tend to, you know, throw around with our own KPIs like organic visibility, keyword rankings and stuff like that, right? And especially executives, they're not interested in it. So you also have to be the skill or the capability to transform and convert those into business language so that they understand, okay, what does it mean if we rank, have now 10,000 keywords more ranking on position 1, 2, 3? What is it in effective in traffic and stuff like that? So really having this, you know, business mindset and communication soft skill, and make sure to, you know, make them understand how you are contributing to the overall business. I think that's definitely key.
Exactly. You want to make sure what you're driving from a traffic perspective and organic perspective actually makes a difference to the bottom line of the business. Because if you have vanity traffic metrics or keyword ranking metrics that don't make a material impact on the business, then SEO will probably be deprioritized. And that's not necessarily something we want as SEO professionals. We want to champion and drive forward SEO and that growth and impact. And so I think you hit the nail on the head where it's exactly having those KPIs really drive back to that business impact and showing impact across the broader community of stakeholders and org channels.
You know, from the outside, you know, if you look at Zillow, for example, or you look at every equivalent on the size and, you know, on the brand, for example, any other company, but also looking at AWS, looking at Amazon from the outside, you always think, wow, they do great SEO, right? They must have like 80 people within the team and, you know, but it's very often a black box how they operate in SEO. How's the team structured and how's the setup? How they report to whom and stuff like that? Can you explain most probably the best SEO setup that you had in such a company that drove the most success? How was the setup? How did all the processes work?
I think it really depends on the size and type of company, to be honest. For enterprise companies like a Zillow or a Veev Group, having SEO live within product provides more impact. And for those enterprise brands or marketplace brands or e-commerce brands, having SEO live within product generally provides the most impact because you are driving traffic via the product and those pages. So for example, real estate marketplaces, the product is going to be those search result landing pages, those home listing pages, and you will be working with the product teams who are responsible for maintaining, creating, and expanding those page types. And so I think having SEO live within product within those organizations, it makes sense and it will be the most successful for SEO and traffic and that product collaboration. If you have a smaller brand or a SaaS brand, or AWS being a SaaS brand, I think having SEO live within marketing might be more effective. And so it really depends on the organization where at that standpoint, if you are in an enterprise SaaS brand, you're going to be working with product marketing managers and the people who actually own the web pages. And so I think having that direct line of communication and collaboration will probably be more effective in that standpoint. And so it really depends on the organization, the type of brand, and how it operates, and whether SEO should live within product or marketing. I've seen it be successful both ways, but it really depends on who you're working with more and what type of content and pages are going to be driving the bulk of traffic.
Absolutely, totally agree. Also, like I'm a big believer in SEO need to be active part into product management. And I have also seen a setup where, you know, there was no director SEO or there was no head of SEO. You had like professional SEOs working within product together with product managers and reporting directly to the head of product. So they were an integrated part of the entire product development, which is also, you know, if you have the right skill set and you have the right personnel, then it's definitely a good way to go.
Definitely. And that does require SEO who's leading SEO, like in your role, to have that more product technical mindset, because you will be working with PMs and developers and product teams. And so it takes a different mindset and level of communication and awareness working with developers and PMs than it does like a content marketing manager or a paid search manager. And so it's just different styles of communication. And I think experience, having that more technical product experience can lend well to those roles.
Love it. Yeah. Let's get into real estate, like the biggest opportunities and the biggest challenges. And from what I've seen, you know, being in the job now for 3 weeks, I think it's week three or week four.
Is it only week three?
But from what I've seen, I think one of the biggest needle mover is page management, URL management, right? Because you have, I haven't seen, you know, this huge amount of URLs, because real estate platforms, if they are really nice structured, then they're structured after postal codes, area codes, after area, after city, after area and boroughs and cities, and so on and so forth. So you have a huge amount of URL. And I think managing this wisely and also in a way that you always, you know, have quality for the user and also for the bot is the number one to go, for example, right? So what's your experience and how to manage those huge amount of URLs? What is important in terms of architecture, indexing, etc.?
There's a lot to unpack there in terms of how to manage those URLs. But I think you're right, where that really is the core of any enterprise real estate SEO program and challenge. There are going to be different nuances with page types and the quantity of pages, I think, depending on where that real estate brand is located. For example, in the US, we have, in Canada, also, we have the multiple listing service. And so that really controls those home listing pages. And they are provided on the address-based format. And this is something I know we're talking through together. And outside of the US and Canada, that doesn't really exist. And so you have like brands that we've worked with in Mexico and now Europe, where they're more like classified pages where they are listed by agents. And so that does add a different layer of complexity where you have not necessarily as defined format for those pages. And so when you're thinking about different page types for real estate brands, having a different breakout depending on the country and those it's kind of rules and regulations or how real estate is basically monitored and functions within those countries can make a difference. Where in Europe, for example, you have those, like, we'll call them just search results pages, where they are, like you said, like by zip code. Someone is searching for homes for sale in a zip code or homes for sale in a neighborhood or homes for sale in a city or department. And so, or condos or townhouses, or homes with a pool or acreage. You know, there's a lot of different ways to dissect the type of landing page that should be created and offered based upon search patterns and searcher behavior patterns. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. And then you have what we call the home listing pages, which are those individual property detail pages. And so those traditionally, our experience is around optimizing for addresses for those versus in different countries where that don't have an MLS, you're optimizing around as exact of a location as you can have. Not every agent provides that. And so I guess what I'm saying in terms of page types, this adds to that complexity where in the US, we might have over 100 million homes in the US that need to be uniquely optimized and crawled and indexed. And then in other countries like Mexico or Europe, where there aren't an MLS feed, those pages exist on a more finite scale. When the home is for sale, it exists. And when it's not, it's just not there because we don't have it's not tied to a specific address for the listing. And so that adds into the complexity of that page type and that quantity of pages versus those more static search results landing pages. Because if we have like a condos for sale in a zip code, that's going to live on the site indefinitely. We know, let's say people are searching for that. We know that's going to live indefinitely on the site. We want to uniquely optimize around that. And then creating those technical structures and those content structures that basically that SEO framework to support this scaled architecture of pages is really what I think you're hitting on, and where that, you know, leans into the SEO success in terms of URL management, internal linking management, XML sitemap management, and being able to correctly optimize those based on the data that we have. And so that will also lean into how many results are there. Let's say there's only one home for sale, for condos for sale and XYZ zip code. Do we want that page indexed? Do we want it crawled? Do we want to deprioritize it with our internal linking network? So there's a lot of different nuances to think about. I know it's a really long-winded answer to your question. I'm not sure if I actually responded to that.
You already built bridges to my follow-up questions and everything that you said. But first of all, like, you know, as you just also elaborated, right? So you can automatically create, based on specific search patterns, a lot of keyword combination keywords, right? You have like areas, you have postal codes, whatever you have, right? But if you come on a website itself, also as a bot, you want to have an architecture that makes crawling very efficient, right? So, and we have limited space on the homepage, for example, or also in the categorization or in the how do you call it, the structural setup of the pages. What is the best way of promoting specific page types on the homepage, for example, in your architecture already?
I think prioritizing the pages that we believe should and could drive the most traffic based on search volume priority, basically, because search volume really leans into searcher behavior. And so prioritizing based on where we see that sliding scale of importance in terms of volume and traffic prioritization. There are a few different ways that we can get creative in terms of leveraging the homepage. I'm a big fan of internal linking, related internal linking modules, dynamic rotating internal linking modules. Let's say we're optimizing for homes for sale in Marseille. We want to be able to have bots crawl all those different page variations. If it's a condo or a townhouse or, waterfront or whatever we want to optimize for, or ocean views or whatever we want to optimize for, we could have an internal linking module that maybe rotates through those popular searches. We could call them just quote unquote popular searches. And so that might be something where we lean on internal search data. We lean on just page prioritization. We can also have linking modules from the homepage that link to the newest listed properties for sale in a specific market or the country or region, etc. And so I'm sure if you look at Zillow, we have what we call the mega footer. It's not very pretty, but users don't necessarily notice it. If you expand it, great. There's a lot of links there. And so that's really for bots as well. There are different ways that you could help beyond the homepage ensure that bots and users can access every specific page, every search results page on the site. Let's say you land on a condos for sale on Marseille page. Then you want to have all different kinds of internal linking on that page to all the different variants within that specific region or country and, or not region, specifically region. And so I think, or nearby regions, as you get deeper into the site, that web of localized linking gets deeper as well. And so the deeper you get, the deeper those internal link networks will hit on those localized faceted or filtered pages. I'm also a big fan of localized site art or navigation as well. And so if you're on a specific search results page in a region, then let's prioritize other pages within that region, even within the top navigation. So there are some, I think, tricks and just thoughtful site architecture updates you can make.
I especially love the internal linking approach because I'm a big fan of it. And especially if you have so big sites or such big sites, then internal linking is the most important and also most successful way to make sure that, you know, your most important page is being crawled and also found by users. And what I really love is the homepage of Amazon, for example, when it comes for internal linking. I mean, it has nothing to do with real estate, but I think it's a blueprint for how to make a really good use of your homepage. If you go to the homepage of Amazon, you have small tiles, right? So it could be can be a big tile or can be a big tile divided by four tiles, for example, right? And so they play around with, hey, best red dresses in this category or newest articles in from seller XYZ. And if you transfer this to real estate, you could also say, okay, these are the newest houses in area X. These are the newest offerings from real estate agent, I don't know. Or these are the most popular townhouses, or these are the, you know, most beautiful summer house, whatever. You can be super creative and use really the homepage as an, you know, way, as a gateway for crawlers and also for users to find specifically the most important for you and for the internal linking most important page types, for example. It's a blueprint. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And the homepage really is the most impactful because it's going to be the highest page on the site with the highest page authority and the most inbound links to it in general. And so if we can leverage the authority from the homepage into those deeper pages, that'll therefore have a trickle down effect into also helping those pages rank better and have those better internal linking signals.
You also mentioned in your previous answer, it's like if you have, you know, listing pages with zero or just one offering, for example, right? And, you know, when I did my preparation for the interview with Avi, for example, I did an analysis and I also found like on each website real estate platform within the market, they have the same problem, right? So they have in 100,000 sometimes pages in the index listing pages where you find one or most of the time zero offerings. And what they do, so we in SEO, we have like, you know, we need to balance out between, okay, how much do we send into the index? Is it from quality? Is it also something for the user, right? We don't actually want to have any listings in the index that have zero offering. On the other hand side, and that's what, you know, a lot of property platforms also do, is like they are offering similar to what the user was searching for, similar offerings in the radius of 5 kilometers around, you know, where the user searched, for example, right? What's your stance on this? It's like, should we have the index cleaned up with those pages, or is it a way to trigger maybe the user to find something different or find something else on the platform? So conversion versus index cleanup, I would say.
I love this because this is such a, I would say, hot topic within the SEO community. I feel like every different SEO I talk to might give a different answer here or have a different preference. And so there are nuances to consider from the user experience, from the content quality standpoint, and indexation standpoint. Generally, for large sites where we're talking about hundreds of thousands or millions or tens of millions of pages, my stance is that it might be more challenging to apply specific indexation management protocols. And so let's say there's a search results landing page. One day it has 5 listings. Great, that provides the user with whatever listings are available for that specific refinement. The next day, it might have 0 or 1. And so there's not a lot of inventory available. That being said, if we were to apply a no index on that page once it hit a threshold of minimum inventory quantity, then Google may or may not even see that. It might be challenging to remove it from the index. And once we have more listings, it might be more challenging to get it back in the index and re-index once we lift a no index tag. So a lot of SEOs I know might just deprioritize it within site architecture, internal linking networks. That's something that I would probably lean towards for very large scale sites, where let's try to supplement those, the page with, like you said, similar listings or nearby listings. Let's expand the radius for pulling in new inventory. And so we can actually create a meaningful experience for users so that they land on a page and they don't just fall flat. So let's say there aren't any specific houses for sale based on that filter refinement. But if we expand, let's say by 5 kilometers, then there might be a few more, or there might be similar listings within similar enough that the user could be interested as well. That also helps, I think, with user experience and bot experience, supplementing that content. My experience is that Google will hang on to information about a URL. So if a page has a no index and we want to re-index it, I've personally have seen a lot of challenges with getting a page re-indexed and getting Google to really clear the deck in terms of those historical indexation signals. That being said, there are obviously a lot of nuances and details to unpack for every site when it comes to that specific type of management. And so that's something where I would say, let's try to improve the user experience on that page, try to pull in as much similar nearby inventory that we can, try to direct the user into deeper areas on the site that will also help with the bot experience and content quality. And then maybe we deprioritize it within internal linking networks until it has more listings, something like that. So that would be my conscientious way to try to balance both objectives. There is also, I think you hit on a question of that's been on my mind a lot for large enterprise sites, the percentage of indexed or crawled pages compared to the percentage of traffic impact as well. And so let's say you have a group of pages that contribute to 20% of crawl budget. And this is often the case when you're looking at long tail pages and filters and refinements, but they only contribute, let's say, 1% of traffic or less than 1% of traffic. Is that really an appropriate balance? Do we actually want those page types? And so I think that comes a question of the indexation manage, definitely, well, leans into indexation management, but it really brings up the question of, do we want to provide this page to users and bots? And so if we go down that route, we definitely need to apply some more technical management layers to remove them.
Adding to that threshold that you just mentioned for listings, like, has it at least an amount of listings? And then also looking at how many SEO landings have the page been, you know, gathering over the last, let's say, 6 months or 35 days or whatever it is, right? But this is something where you can add more thresholds in order to maintain a certain quality for a page and then automatically de-index. I love that.
Yeah, and that's something we have seen success with sites where we've cleaned up that imbalance of crawled and indexed pages versus traffic impact. A real estate site that we've worked with in Canada had really deep filters applied for like streets and then bedrooms and bathrooms. And so, you know, it's a pretty, I'd say, narrow market of someone who might be looking for 4-bedroom, 1-bathroom condos for sale in a neighborhood, you know, something like that. You have to understand the depth of that searcher behavior and patterns to understand, okay, this page type theoretically may not get any visits. No one's really looking for that deep of a page in terms of refining their real estate search. And they might do that actually once they get to the site. And so expanding and applying filters upon filters can really quickly increase the number of pages for Google to crawl and index and rank. And if we understand that this group of pages, or when we have, let's say, 4 or 5 filters applied, it could technically be a unique page, and maybe there are listings or inventory to support that filter, but no one's searching for it. And if it contributes, like I said, like I think we found in this one example with street pages, it was maybe like 20 or 25% of all index pages that were being crawled and indexed, but driving maybe 0.05% of traffic. So we applied 410 on those pages and saw indexation drop and decline over time. We removed them from internal linking networks and honestly, traffic improved to the other pages that we wanted to improve and prioritize. And so that's something where we can apply different technical measures. And there was a reason why we did a 410 versus 404. So there are obviously nuances that you have to consider. Removing those from the index really benefited the site in terms of maximizing that crawl budget and resulting traffic increase to priority search pages.
Yeah, you mentioned one thing in your answer, which just makes me think how big duplicate content is an issue for real estate platforms, right? Because you said something like, okay, if you have a specific, you know, townhouses in a specific area and you just add some filters to it, it may or may not add just, you know, one exposé to the listing, but, you know, having more filter combinations like this, like in general, you create most probably 5 or 6 pages with almost the same offering. So how big is the problem of duplicate content for real estate platforms, and what's your experience on managing it?
Duplicate content is a problem that SEO needs to manage very conscientiously for real estate sites. And I think you hit a really important concept in terms of the filter management for search results pages. And then we also have duplicate content for listings as well, because everyone has the same information. At least in the US and Canada, everyone has the same MLS data and listing feeds. And then in Europe, a lot of the classified landing pages might be duplicate across all sorts of sites. And so there's a question of managing duplicate content on the search results pages and then managing duplicate content on home listing pages. In terms of managing that duplicate content, one thing that we advise and that we've talked with you about is actually pulling in related type of content. And so let's say we have townhouses for sale in a specific city, and then we apply filters on top of that. We want to make sure we don't go too complex with how many filters we apply on that, because if you have 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 3-bedrooms, 4-bedrooms, townhouses for sale, that's going to create this web of duplication, basically, and not really be helpful for the user, most likely. Google will probably just serve the townhouses page for sale for someone searching for 3-bedroom townhouse, maybe. Who'd have to fact check me on that one. I think understanding the depth of content that a site has to support those pages, pulling in related information like market stats on townhouses for sale in a region and nearby townhouse listings. And then I know we talk a lot about for like city landing pages, transportation, city guides, any sort of, you know, demographic information, trends in terms of who lives there, livability, information that we can pull in can be really helpful to minimize duplication. Also that on listing pages as well, trying to pull in as much localized content as we can and provide our own unique spin on what's available in that content. That'd be my approach for duplication.
You already answered my next question, by the way. But I just want to make a loop to the very beginning where you said, you know, if SEO is sitting within product, I mean, that's the most successful setup. And yes, you know, if you sit within product, you need to have a direct line to content and editorial teams make sure that you have specific content. But as we said, right, if we are scaling landing pages and creating landing pages automatically on that scale, on postal codes, area, specific filter combination, it's humanly impossible to maintain every page with content, right? So it's a no-brainer to use AI for it. And, you know, with all the data that real estate platforms have, like the amount of schools, the amount of parks, hospital data, et cetera, PP. So you just named it, all of them in your answer, you know, structured in a way that you can use it to create content specific for the localization or specific for you know, a certain area or so, is just a no-brainer. So what's your experience on this, and how to make how can we make sure to create templates to inject those content into landing pages?
I completely agree on the usage of AI generated content and capabilities to create unique insights and helpful just contextual information for users and search engines. And so using AI is something that has been more popular recently, obviously with the advancement of the technology and all sorts of different companies launching tools. And I know we've talked about and looked at companies that use structured data and they can use schema to create AI content, which is so cool. And historically, we've relied on development teams and product teams to do this and also creating templates. Templates aren't great, but it's better than no content where you really have that plug and play type content and results where you can curate a thoughtful piece of content to add to search results, landing pages, or listing pages that pulls in all these different data elements, like you're talking about the schools and hospitals or restaurants and coffee shops and parks, things that people want to know when they're looking to buy a house somewhere. And they want to know about the area that they're moving to and where they're buying or renting. And using all these different data points to create a thoughtful piece of content will help add to the content quality of these pages and help minimize that duplication, minimize thin content. We generally see a sliding scale. If a site has no content and they have template content or AI content, we see a bump in rankings. If there's unique content, we see another bump in rankings and traffic. But with these large scale enterprise sites, like you said, it's just humanly impossible to create customized content for every page. We generally like to do that for priority pages. Let's say we have 100 or 500 priority pages or markets. It could be worth having a human generated content. That being said, AI content these days is really great and actually can provide a great user experience while providing that depth of content as well. So I think exactly like what you said, it's just pulling in all the related data points that brands have in real estate. Every brand has all that data, and there are data providers that can provide that data if you don't. And so leaning into that to provide your own unique experience and thoughtful experience on the site.
Yeah. And you also mentioned it, right? So structured data, especially on real estate platforms, good for a local SEO strategy, I would say, right? Because you have all this data that you can also structurally mark with schema.org, for example, and then extract those data and display in it to SERP. So it's actually a win-win situation. It's good for the user, but also good for your clicks on the SERP. Last question that I have, Kristen, is, because you already have access to SGE, Search Generative Experience, and BART in the US, do you think that something will change for the real estate world with SGE and BART?
Ooh, yes. I would suspect that over time, shopping for a home or understanding a region might be answered more so with BART and SGE. At the moment, we really haven't seen really any material changes, to be honest. And so it's selectively, as you know, in showing up for different types of search results. We haven't actually seen that show up for real estate results at scale. And so I think over time, as BART continues to get smarter and refined, and I would suspect that someone will be able to more easily communicate and find exactly what they're looking for versus just searching in Google and blindly clicking on results. And so I think it will really help probably refine and fine tune how a user shops for a home, but that's down the road. I don't think we're quite there yet.
Yeah, I made the observation when I was still working for e-commerce is that my thought on this, or like my vision on this, was that the focus on the PDP, or in our case, the CDP, becomes more and more important. Because as you said, right, the user can, you know, very deeply do a search, not just on a generic example of, you know, townhouse in New York City or so, but very specific with one balcony, sea view, I don't know what kind of attributes it should have, but you know, it puts more focus on the PDP and SGE, as I have seen from the examples that I have seen, is then pulling organic listing, how do you say, organic product listings, for example, into the SGE box so that the user can, select one of those. And I can imagine, I don't know, but I can imagine that this is also something for real estate platforms where, you know, they pull out specific CDPs and display them because it's very, very tied to the very specific search that the user did.
I completely agree. And that would be the PDPs, like the property detail page or the classified detail page for listings. That leans into a lot of what we talked about today in terms of having completeness of data and having related information. Because if someone is using BAR to search for, or I'm looking for a 2-bedroom townhouse with a sea view in this neighborhood, it's going to be more important to have the completeness of information and related local information on that product detail page, and also making sure Google can crawl and index and discover that, because they won't be able to serve those PDPs in SGE if they're not aware of them. And so I think that leans into a lot of what we talked about today in terms of the crawl depth and site architecture and managing page types and having that rich content experience and localized content experience as much as possible.
Great. Thank you so much, Kristen. I could do this one more hour, but we have to stop. We talk tomorrow anyways. Thank you for being on the podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we see and hear next week again on the SEO Presso podcast. Ciao.
Bye. Thanks, Bjorn.